40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Mara Rubin in New York. The banking crisis sent shockwaves through the markets on Friday. They ended the day in the red. And now some are saying the banking rules aren't tough enough. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Even as President Biden calls for stiffer penalties for bank leaders who mismanage their lending institutions, the banking industry and the banking system is already in the sights of Congress. The chair of the Senate Banking Committee tells me they'd like to have hearings into the matter. The Senate Majority Leader says big legislation to safeguard American depositors is needed. And Republicans are talking about better action from regulators.
Vladimir Putin is a wanted man. The International Criminal Court issued an arrest warrant for him for war crimes in Ukraine. And Ukraine will be getting some more fighter jets soon. CBS's Raby Innocencio is there.
A new show of solidarity for Ukraine from Slovakia, following Poland. Together, a pledge for at least 17 Soviet-designed fighter jets. While old or in need of repair, the hope is it could break Europe's hesitation to send even more warplanes.
The family of an Army combat engineer wants more answers about her death at Fort Hood. CBS's Janet Shamlian is there.
Her mother says the Army told her the combat engineer who served 15 months at Fort Hood died by suicide Monday. The Army saying in a statement, no foul play is evident.
For the Army to say no foul play presumes facts that have not yet been brought forth.
Her parents and advocates for Hispanic Americans are expressing skepticism over how she died.
She had been the target of alleged sexual harassment.
Another January 6th defendant is going to prison.
He's retired Air Force officer Larry Brock, and he has been sentenced to 2 years in prison, 2 years of supervised release after prison, and 100 hours of community service. Bates was convicted for storming the Capitol on January 6th. Dressed in combat gear and carrying zip-tie handcuffs, he entered the Senate gallery and then joined other rioters on the Senate floor. They were inside just minutes after then-Vice President Mike Pence, senators, and their staff were evacuated from the chamber to escape the mob attacking the building. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Wyoming becomes the first state to outlaw abortion pills. Medication abortion providers could serve 6 months in prison under the new law. And millions of brackets being busted after a historic upset. Fairleigh Dickinson became the second number 16 seed in history to win an NCAA tournament game, beating top-seeded Purdue. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay.
It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Imagine planning your wedding in just one day. Pre-register for tickets at madcitybridoexpo.com and receive a $200 gift card. Tickets are also available at the door for $10. Read all the details at madcitybridoexpo.com and like them on Facebook. It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Your ring is just the beginning.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
There was a point in my life where I tried to become a life coach, and I was in a year-long training program. But one of the main rules of the program is that you can't date anyone else in the program. Did not follow that rule. I both got kicked out.
I would have the exact same problem.
No sour, haha, funny power hour.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Happy St. Patrick's Day. How do you celebrate St. Patrick's Day? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. I realize that for people who might want to answer that question, they may already be celebrating and not listening right now.
Oh, I can guarantee you they've been celebrating for a while.
Because in Milwaukee, I feel like celebrations start early. Mike was out. I think he met his cousins at 9:30.
That's late.
Is it late?
We used to broadcast live.
And what time would you start?
5.
So people would be out by 5?
Yes. Yes.
That is an aggressive day.
Yes, it's a long day. I've always been curious, if you start that early, how long do you last? If you start drinking beer at 5 o'clock in the morning, because I would be dead by 9.
I'm trying to think. I've never started at 5 for St. Patrick's Day or anything.
Right.
The earliest we've ever started, there is an event in San Francisco called Beta Breakers, which is where it's an actual race. For some people, but for many people, everyone, whether you're seriously racing or not, wears a costume. But it starts at the bay. So it starts on the east side of the peninsula of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And then there is a route that goes the 7 miles to the breakers, which is the ocean to the west side of San Francisco. I never made it past Golden Gate Park because for those of us who are not actually racing, the whole day was just drinking. And so we would start at 7:30.
Oh.
And I think we would make it. And like there's house parties along the entire way. You can just walk in the streets and drink. It was sloppy. Very sloppy.
I bet.
And I typically made it till, let's say like 2 or 3. There was a time in my life that basically every Beta Breakers ended in a fight with my boyfriend, so that's something.
That's nice.
But St. Patrick's Day, I think I feel like I usually have to work. And so the people who can, you know, partake and do all day, it's like they have flexible jobs.
Or they just take off.
Yeah. But yes, if you are listening and you have plans for later today that you would like to share of how you celebrate St. Patrick's Day, 844-967-2789. But I thought, you know, it's such a funny, it's one of those things, it's one of those holidays where I do think we, you know, there's like, well, we celebrate St. Patrick's Day even more than the Irish. And, you know, I think what I've read in the past is that until recently, St. Patrick's Day in Ireland was more, it was a religious holiday.
Yes.
It was a bank holiday. It was a religious holiday. You were expected to go to church. And it's only in the advent of the, you know, celebrations of American Irish. And I think the drinking of that and the celebration of culture, especially because, you know, the Irish were looked down upon for a very long time in this country. And so the reclaiming of their culture and being proud of that, because there's a lot of Irish people in the United States.
And all over the world.
And so I came across this TikTok last night because I hadn't really thought of it. I mean, I knew, you know, in pure numbers, as far as how many people are Irish in America, and like the comparison of people who are currently Irish, as in they have Irish citizenship and live in Ireland, mm-hmm. versus Americans who claim Irish heritage in some diluted fashion, because more and more of us are just some mix of a lot of different things. But I saw this last night, and I just, like, putting it in the context of the numbers, I was like, oh, this actually makes a lot more sense why there is such a hold on Americans and this holiday.
This map is fascinating. It shows the number of Americans of European descent as a ratio of those still living in the old country. So look here at Norway. That means that the number of Norwegian Americans amounts to 71% of the total population of Norway today. Or here, German Americans are 50% of the population of Germany, and so on. And hey, look, America has been a great place to escape wars and famines and persecution for a long time. But here's the number that should blow your ever-loving mind. Look at Ireland. That's not 6.2, that's 620. That means there are more than six times as many Irish Americans as there are people living in Ireland. Which is a reminder of just how brutal the British colonial occupation of Ireland was. Like when they banned free trade and forced the starving Irish to export their agricultural crops right in the middle of the potato famine of the 1840s. Here's a chart showing the Irish population over the last two centuries. 1 million people died in the potato famine, and 2 million more emigrated to the United States. The population of Ireland still hasn't recovered. And as a result, today there are 5 million people living in Ireland, but 32 million Irish Americans. Which includes Joe Biden, for whom 10 of his 16 great-great-grandparents were born in Ireland.
That's mind-blowing.
Isn't that mind-blowing?
Yes, it is.
So it's 5 million Ireland, another 2 million when you include Northern Ireland, but 32 million Americans of Irish descent, so one in 10 Americans. We said earlier in the program that it was 70 million people worldwide have Irish ancestry, mm-hmm. that, you know, fled because of the famine and the colonial rule of Britain. And so when you think about the dominance of that and the influence of that in America, it does make a lot more sense of why this is a very celebrated holiday, even for those of us who are not Irish, who partake and it's fun and the traditions and stuff. But for people who are Irish, and I think sometimes it does get lost of like the plight of that country. And I think so often we think about like the British colonialists and what they did to so many countries, and often what they did to black and brown countries.
Yes.
But the fact that they did it even to their neighbors, and the what they had over them, and the way they just let them starve and let 1 million people die, but wouldn't let them grow anything else besides potatoes, which are not even native to Ireland.
And I had, and I'm embarrassed to say this, but I had no idea that those were the circumstances during that potato famine. Shocking.
Angela's Ashes? Is that the famous book that was about the potato famine?
I believe so.
So, not to put a downer on such a happy day, but it was just kind of those handful, like seeing that video, reading a couple things about the history of St. Patrick's Day, and realizing that this is not... And now I think, because, you know, there's also the argument of what we do with Cinco de Mayo, which is an independence, you know, a day of independence for Mexico. It's like, why are you a white person celebrating this so much?
Because we can have a party, Kristen.
But there is obviously there's now a huge increase of Mexican Americans. I still think it was the other way around as far as a bunch of white Americans making that a bigger deal. But maybe I could be wrong on that. But I think it makes more sense of why it is so cherished. And this is such a fun day for so many because there is a huge stronghold. 32 million people.
That's really impressive.
And so I'm trying to think of other fun things that I read this morning as far as why, you know, the background of St. Patrick's Day. Oh, you know what I wanted to share? If you had to guess, what's the top five cities for St. Patty's Day celebrations?
Boston.
Okay.
Chicago.
Okay. Are you doing this in order or are you just naming five?
Well, Boston is first. I would put Chicago second.
Okay.
Philadelphia.
Okay.
And then I'm drawing a blank.
That was pretty good for the top for three. So according to Wallet Hub, I don't know how they there was across various metrics, but they ranked it. So number one is Boston. Number two is Philly. Number three is Chicago.
Oh, not bad.
Number four is Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And number five is New York.
Well, you would think it's the coastal cities, right? Where they landed.
Because I remember reading on Wisconsin Historical Society's website once, because Milwaukee takes St. Patrick's Day pretty seriously. But you think about it, you think of Milwaukee, you think much more Polish and German.
And German.
Because there was at one point, I guess, an influx of Irish. But this sounds like such a stereotype. And this is not me saying this. But apparently the Irish that immigrated to Wisconsin at first weren't really as willing to work the land as the Germans were. So they went back to Chicago.
I want to do something else.
Where there was more like industrial jobs versus farming jobs.
Yeah, I've been hoeing my entire life. Now I'd like to try something else.
Yeah. And so we don't have quite the same Irish population. We have an Irish population, but not quite as dominant as some of the other places. But, you know, the other thing that I feel like, why Milwaukee does have a pretty big St. Patrick's Day celebration. But what all of those five cities have in common, you know, is they've all been spending the last 4 months miserable in the cold and not seeing sunlight. And this is our Groundhog's Day as far as like spring is maybe almost here. We maybe only have one snowstorm left before we actually can enjoy the sun. Have you adjusted to daylight savings time?
Sure, whatever.
Be back on it.
Fine.
All right. Well, if you have any traditions that you want to share with us, what does your St. Patrick's Day celebration look like? 844-967-2789. When we come back, we'll keep talking about St. Patrick's Day. We'll maybe talk about whether or not this SNL sketch from last weekend was offensive or not. Colin Farrell's reaction to it. We still got a lot of show left. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The veranda, for his master he waits. But the bus is inside, drinking wine with his mates. He hurries for cover, and he cringes in fear. It's no place for a dog, round a pub with no beer. Time in his life has gone home cold sober to his darling wife. He walks in the kitchen to say to Lady B, dear. Then he breaks down and he tells her that the pub's got no beer. Oh, it's lonesome away from your kindred and all, where the campfire is light, where the wild dingoes call. But there's nothing so
direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app. Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw.
Lows level off around 12 overnight. Under cloudy skies, west winds 20 to 25 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 25. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 16. Dry and turning much warmer Sunday and Monday with highs from the upper 30s to the mid 40s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and we are having fun on this St. Patrick's Day. If you weren't working, would you be out? Do you typically celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
I do not.
You just don't care?
It's too crowded. It's too stupid. It's like going out on New Year's Eve with all the youngsters.
Yeah.
You know, no, it just doesn't. Back in the day, we would have, you know, we would broadcast from 5 until 9 and then probably stick around and have a couple drinks. And then because I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then I'd go home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and go to bed. So.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm sure once I was already told that I will be picking up my husband.
Well, good.
So
that's all right.
We're going to be safe. So yeah. I get to drive today because we are going to head to Rapids after this afternoon, because it is my dad's birthday, so a happy early birthday to him. But so we'll see what kind of condition he's in when we pick him up. We'll see what kind of condition Milwaukee is in when I make it back to
the
city.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. So far, I did not see a lot of anything in Waukesha yet. I didn't see a lot of green or places. I don't know if there's an Irish pub on Main Street or not, but I haven't seen
anyone
much.
I
haven't seen anyone walking past our studio stumbling with Irish green. Oh, I forgot my hat.
You have a hat?
I have my grandpa's. Yes. I have my grandpa's. This is it's so random. Sequined green clover cowboy hat. It's in the car.
You have a sequined green clover cowboy hat and you left it in the car?
I left it in the car because I put it in the back seat instead of next to me. So when I got out of the car, I didn't bring it. I'll show you before we leave today. I was going to wear it during this segment, and I just realized that I left it in the car.
I am experiencing actual physical pain.
It's very up your alley.
Well, after we just talked about the Ranger hat yesterday, you know my affinity for hats.
That's true.
We'll have to do some photos.
Maybe I think you might look better in the hat, Jane. Since you're not wearing green, I might have to gift it to you so you don't get pinched later.
That would be wonderful.
But, all right, so speaking of Irish tropes and traditions and stereotypes, last weekend, we obviously had the Oscars, but the night before the Oscars, SNL had done a sketch, and I'll be honest, I haven't watched a lot of SNL this year. I don't know how funny it's been. I know they have a ton of new cast members,
right?
Because they had a ton of cast members leave, and you know, I don't know if there's new writers, but they did, because they do topical comedy, they did, I think it was their cold open for the night, was a red carpet Oscars sketch.
Sure.
As far as, you know, the different stars coming through, doing a bit, making fun of it. And so let's play the sketch, and then we'll come back and talk about what the reaction to the sketch was.
We have the stars of The Banshees of Inisherin, Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson. How do you guys like your chances tonight?
You know, das words and, you know, like, take words of troops for wherein you be.
Hey, me grain, grain, pewataris, well, toony trees in it.
Yeah. Bush like they say, you know, our time's the good work. Forgiving like it's been for long on. So take it in me whole team at CAA.
Wow, and they haven't even started drinking yet.
So, that was only one part of the sketch. So the sketch was longer. And then the next person they brought on was supposed to be Michelle Williams' Jewish coach, because she played Steven Spielberg's mom in the Fablemans, who was Jewish. And so it was like a woman came on as a very New York Jewish woman talking about how she, you know, it's a joke. And her final line is like, now I have to go see my acting coach, Chuck Schumer. So, you know, is it funny? Meh. Is it offensive? And that becomes the question, because apparently there was a lot of people who found this sketch, Irish people, found this sketch to be very offensive. So one of whom... Have you ever watched Derry Girls?
I haven't, but I'm very familiar with it. Yeah.
Great show. Great show. I have to go back and watch I still haven't seen the third episode. But Derry Girls is a comedy on Hulu. Netflix. Half-hour comedy. And the backdrop is Ireland in the 90s during the bad times. And, you know, the war, like all of the terrorist acts that were happening, but it's a comedy and sees like four high school girls. It's really funny. It's really, really funny. But the creator of that show, Lisa McGee, retweeted the video and said, yes, this is fine, with like a slapping face emoji. And then someone else responded saying, what the absolute F is this?
This is absolutely not funny.
Someone else responded saying, "These are all Irish people. This is beyond offensive." And then a woman named Elizabeth David, who lives in Southeast Ireland. Painting the Irish as drunks is what the British rulers in the 1800s did to feel superior to the Irish and was racist. This Saturday Night Live skit of Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell, who works hard to maintain his sobriety, which is important.
It is.
Was so tone deaf and so 1800s. So I guess my question is... Even if you're not Irish, it might be hard for those of us who are not Irish sometimes to comment whatever is or is not offensive. But was it offensive? And so when we come back after the break, I think this opens a bigger question on when you live in a culture that can be stereotyped, if you lean into some of the stereotypes, can you be mad when there's jokes at your expense? And this includes Wisconsin, because we love Charlie Barron's. But we don't necessarily like it when people from the outside make fun of us. Come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
A JP Morgan analyst note says investors in Europe and the U.S. are worried if the financial system is on the verge of another Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers moment, but points out that U.S. and EU banks are well capitalized and the Fed and Treasury are prepared with an existing playbook for quick action.
Putin will not be arrested if he stays in Russia, but if he travels to any of the 123 countries that are members of the International Criminal Court, international law dictates the country must arrest him.
We are aware of some stressors in Anna's life, not tied to harassment. And I know CID will investigate.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Suddenly, my quarterback is the number one trending topic. Why, you might ask, is Aaron Rodgers trending on Twitter? He's out this game. He's got COVID-19. And to my perception, he freaking lied to us, man. I'm very frustrated that he is not eligible to play this Sunday, especially when you find out your quarterback is a half a Trumpster. And he claims, I'm not a flat earther, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just play one in the NFL. That pisses me off, man. I was going to bet on that team. Maybe.
New time, 3 to 6 p.m. And Dom.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Jim Santel for just a few more minutes. As you point out, this is a civil trial, not a criminal trial. You think that the Trump org will end up with the death penalty under New York law.
Letitia James, she's doing the civil case, right? This is a criminal matter.
Oh, it is. So I misunderstood.
It is, yes.
Normally I leave the being wrong to Dom.
Right.
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. We are celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Missed opportunity to not have a Guinness. Should have brought some Guinness in today. Do you like Guinness? No, you don't really like Dube beer.
I'm not a big beer fan, but I would take a sip.
What would be Irish whiskey? Could you get Irish on board with that?
Irish coffee.
Irish coffee?
Sure.
Trying to think. I'm not a big corned beef person.
I'm not either.
So that is definitely not. Well, the big tradition in our house, and I've made a video about this before, was my mom, the leprechauns would turn our milk green.
Oh, man. Your mother really went on this stuff.
Yes, she really did. So it would be we'd come down for breakfast. I remember I was really into it. I have a feeling my brother really kind of rolled his eyes. But we would come down for breakfast, and it would be an empty glass, an empty, like, pint glass that you could see through it. And then she'd pour milk in, we'd have our cereal sitting there.
Sure.
And the cereal would sit there, but there's no milk in it yet. And she'd then pour milk into the glass, and it would turn green as she poured it. And then she'd pour it into the cereal, and it would turn green. And of course, now I know it was just food coloring sitting at the bottom of the glass.
She was, you know. She was in a class of her own, your mother.
Yeah, she's pretty special. Shout out to to Mama Bri.
No kidding.
But I made a joke about that a couple years ago about no wonder I like green beer. She started me young on the dyeing of liquids a green color for the holiday. But so any reason to celebrate something. But anyways, so we were talking about last weekend, SNL had a very mediocre sketch as far as different celebrities or people like the Oscars were the next day. They had an Oscar sketch in which two of their actors came down and did an impression of Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson, two Irish actors. And, you know, the joke being you could barely understand them. And then the follow-up jokes saying, because of their thick accent, and then the follow-up joke being, and they haven't even started drinking yet.
That was the out.
And that was the out. And then the sketch went forward. They weren't even the whole sketch. And there was a lot of people who were very offended by the sketch. So much so that on an Irish talk show, it became a conversation, which I found this, why we can't ban TikTok. I found so much information there.
Too useful.
So this was a debate on one of the Irish show on whether or not that sketch was offensive.
I think, the criticism of it is completely legitimate. Like, it's just not funny. Like, that's the main problem with it. It's just not very funny.
And it's not original.
I think that those stereotypes are a price we have to pay given how much we lean into some elements, those elements of Irish culture.
How do we lean in?
You talked about Joe Biden coming here.
We shouldn't have to pay that price.
Joe Biden, we're going to bring your government, we're going to bring Joe Biden. They'll organise it that Joe Biden goes to the Guinness storehouse or he'll be in a pub. There will be a pint of Guinness. It was the same when President Obama was here. It's the same when there's any state visitor here. We even did it to the Queen. We tried to shove a pint of Guinness into her hand. Prince Philip was the only one, I think, who'd pick it up. So we do that. We talked about like the fight in Irish, like as in the fighting Irish, like at Notre Dame. It's literally a leprechaun with his fists up. Yet we lean into it when we're there. They're coming over here, big US collegiate American football game coming up later this year. The biggest movement of US citizens outside of wartime, and we're going to talk that up. Like, well,
that's,
we talk about,
that's tourism as well.
No,
now.
I know.
And that's
no,
a lot of money.
We lead into it for tourism. And we're going to send, and those American tourists, when they come here, where are we going to send them? We're going to send them to the Guinness Storehouse in Temple Bar. We talk up as a great business success story.
But we're
we talk about Irish whiskey sales, which are a great
success
story.
We're entitled to be proud of our heritage, but we don't have to have a skit made of it.
No, but you can't lean into the alcohol and then expect people not to kind of take the mick a little bit.
So that was News Talk's Kieran Cudahy, and Minister of the State Mary Butler. And you could tell the two women in the clip were pretty defensive and did not like the sketch.
Right.
And he makes a point that the sketch wasn't funny. And I agree with him. It wasn't that original. It wasn't that funny. But I also, I think the only kind of qualm is serious is that Colin Farrell at the beginning of his career when he was such a heartthrob was drinking a lot and has since is now sober mm-hmm. and works hard in his sobriety. Mm-hmm. And so, was there something to be said as far as implying that he was going to drink later in that sketch? But again, it was such a throwaway joke and wasn't the point of that bit that but I also think the part that rang true for me in the discussion they're having is I think cultural groups, including Wisconsin, have this discussion as far as what are the super Wisconsin things that we lean into hard.
To make fun of.
That we make fun of. We embrace and we make fun of ourselves. Like, I am friends with him. He has his show on this network. But Charlie Behrens has made an entire career out of this. And he's funny. And he is funny.
Yes, he is.
And he makes us laugh. But he makes us laugh at very low-hanging fruit of the stereotype of Wisconsin and the Midwest. He doesn't do as much about us being like the drunkest state in the union. He does some jokes about drinking. But it's the fishing. It's the accent. It's the things that we say and stuff. And he pulls it off, one, because he's from here, and so it feels like we're in on the joke. But it doesn't negate the fact that it's leaning into stereotypes, and stereotypes come from things that are true. And I think what I appreciate about the exchange that was happening on the Irish show is that he's like, listen, we can't parade visitors around and give them a Guinness and do the thing and do the Irish thing that everyone expects us to do because people like it, and then get upset when people make fun of us for drinking. And I kind of agree with that. It's like, I think it's the same thing. Like people, I mean, we take great pride in how much we drink here, right? And so I just kind of fall on who gets to make the joke. Do you have to be part of the group to be able to make the joke? Or does the joke just have to be funny enough to get away with saying it? So if you have feelings on this, I have a feeling everyone's celebrating right now.
No, we got some texts.
Oh, we do? All right. So if you have feelings on, like, who gets to make cultural jokes? And can you still make them if they're not funny? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96.
Party!
So what's the text line saying?
Texter from the 608 says, to preface, I have some Irish heritage. There is some bad history indeed with Irish immigrants, and Ireland certainly has had some very dark times, which aren't funny. However, Irish Americans are certainly not a marginalized group in this day and age. I certainly wouldn't call that SNL skit racist by any stretch of the imagination. While it's never okay to punch down and ridicule marginalized groups, the spirit of this seems very different to me. And there was a clip from a different award show of Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson where they were being interviewed. This is pre-Oscars. And they were literally just talking all over each other.
I think I've seen that one.
And I think that's where the genesis of that skit came from.
Well, and also, as we were talking about the show Dairy Girls, which again, highly recommend. It is so funny. I have to watch it with subtitles on.
Oh, definitely, because the accents can be strong. I wish my mother-in-law had subtitles. It would have helped a lot.
And so it's. I know the clip you're talking about, and also, even trained actors as they are, if you're not used to listening to people talk like that, it's hard to understand them because people were like, oh, Colin Farrell made a dig at SNL, which I also don't think was true, because then Jimmy Kimmel kind of kept up on the joke when he talked to Colin Farrell during the Oscars on Sunday.
The next question is from Joey Perello from Las Vegas for Colin Farrell.
Haven't seen Joey in years.
Well, Joey would like to say...
So from that, it seems like Colin is pretty game to play along.
Colin, I loved your performance in The Banshees of Inisherin. My question is, what were you saying in the movie?
I'd like him to go on YouTube and check out SNL last night, and he'll have a good idea.
And that way he'll figure it out?
So, yeah, so I got that from a different clip. So someone else was like, you can tell that he's playing along. He's like, oh, I love Joey. I haven't seen him in so long.
Yeah.
And what he says is like, you know, because the joke is, I loved you in Banshees of Inisherin. What were you saying? And I actually didn't have as big of a problem understanding him. Brendan Gleeson, I thought, was harder to understand in that movie than Colin Farrell was. But then he jokes back, have them go watch the SNL sketch, which, you know, he may have had some feelings about it, but it wasn't like, oh, he makes dig at SNL.
And he was very affable, and I mean, it did not seem intended to be nasty.
No,
it really didn't.
And so this comes back because, of course, as I'm trying to make the connection to, as Wisconsinites, also not a I mean, I guess technically you could say we're a marginalized group. We're not a huge state. We're like five point something million of us.
We have more people than the Dakotas.
We have more people than Ireland. Because did they say only 5 million, five to seven million, depending if you're including Northern Ireland. So we went back and grabbed some of the sketches SNL has done stereotyping Wisconsin, and God, are they bad?
Oh, that's being kind.
Like, I don't know how much of each one you grab, but let's just play. Set up which one of you're going to play first.
This is the these are Wisconsin women.
You hear that, Bethan?
Yeah. You hear that?
Yeah. She thinks these are tights. These are reinforced industrial leggings from Tractor Supply.
Yeah. Cute tights don't matter when you're screaming at the top of your lungs, running through thorny brush like a tank.
Yeah. What matters is you don't scratch your skunk.
Why would you be running through brush screaming?
Well, to get away, you know.
From what?
I don't know if you heard, but you're deep in Wisconsin's bear country.
Yeah, we got a ton of black bear, yeah.
Sorry, aren't they hibernating right now?
Ha! Joitsen, you hear that?
Yeah, that's what they're supposed to do, but so many city folks get hoses out here and don't secure their trash.
Yeah, we call them cityots.
These bears are like my husband. He could be sawing logs in the Lazy Boy, but as soon as I come in the door with my Mickey D's quarter pounder, he's wide awake ripping my bag apart and ba-da-ba-ba-ba, he's loving it.
That was Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez's Wisconsin accent is maybe the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. I don't even know what she was trying to do.
All of them were terrible.
Cicely Strong's is okay.
No.
She's from Chicago, so she gets it a little bit, but like I would have thought that her being from Chicago, it would have been better.
And easier for her.
But I don't even understand the joke. Like it was, that one was so bad. And then there was another one about Fond du Lac News, which was also not funny.
You're watching Southeastern Wisconsin's award-winning news team. Top of the hour from the bottom of the lake. This is Fond du Lac Action News.
I'm Trish Wisniewski.
I'm Joe Bush.
And here's your news, Fond du Lac. Let's get to tonight's top story. So, outrage as the hearing date's been set to determine where recently released sex offender Jim Heinzel lives.
Oh, God. I hope it doesn't get Judge Briggs, because she fined me $300 for going through a stop-and-go light by the Pizza Hut that I know is yellow.
Joe, yellow? I've driven with you. Come on.
On to our next story. Rumors are swirling about a possible cancellation of this year's annual Winterfest. Our very own Barb Von Stoppen is at the fairgrounds. Let's go to her live.
Hi there, Trish and Joe.
Hey, Barb.
Oh, what's happening there, Barb? Because my friend John Wheeler from Snowmobile Place called me and said, this is a big mess. And I said, yeah, I know.
Yeah. My friend Jana works at Labatt's. Goes to me, there's got to be a solution. I go, well, what is it? She goes, I don't know. I go, okay.
Good point. Thank you for that report, Barb. Keep us posted.
Yeah, no problem. Back to you guys.
Bad. Just bad.
Like, I mean, especially because I could see there's parts in there where it could be funny, but it's so far from being, because like so much of comedy comes from like the nugget of truth that it's like, oh, like I get what you're going for, but that's not quite it. Like the jokes about Winterland, it's like, I just feel like there's more accurate stuff. And like who thinks it's funny? Is it just, it was the same thing. I don't know. It's just, and so it's like, is it only not funny because we don't find the truth in it and that other people do? And so that's why they continue to kind of sometimes, and granted, it's also a high.
It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Imagine planning your wedding in just one day. Pre-register for tickets at madcitybridoexpo.com and receive a $200 gift card. Tickets are also available at the door for $10. Read all the details at madcitybridoexpo.com and like them on Facebook. It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Your ring is just the beginning.
The Badgers men's basketball team is in postseason play, and you can hear the action from the National Invitational Tournament on these local Civic Media radio stations.
Wisconsin hosts Liberty in the second round of the NIT this Sunday with an 11 a.m. tip-off.
WFHR, 1320 a.m., 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids is our flagship station. In Richland Center, dial up WRCE, 1450 a.m. or 107.7 FM. And in Amory, tune in 1260 a.m. WLAK. Every win in the NIT, find the Badgers on these local Civic Media radio stations and on the app.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by Nextech Glass, your hometown experts for auto, residential, and commercial glass repair and replacement. Please visit NextechGlass.com. That's nextechglass.com.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast overnight with lows around 12. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles an hour. overcast skies tomorrow. Highs around 25. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 16. Clear skies Sunday with daytime highs approaching 39. 46 Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
C'est si bon de partir n'importe où, bras dessus, bras dessous, en chantant des chansons.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. We're wrapping up the week. This week flew by.
It really did.
When you don't have a Wednesday show, it really clips along.
It did.
But we, wrapping up for the week. St. Patrick's Day. I forgot to wear my hat, so I'll have to post that on social media later. But we were just wrapping up the conversation as far as SNL and their attempt to make fun of different big jokes. But sometimes they just really aren't funny. But I don't know if they're ever offensive. Like, I wouldn't look at those Wisconsin sketches that we played in the last segment and be like, oh, I'm so offended.
No, I just thought it was not well done. Texter from the 262, I think the SNL sketch opens up a Pandora's box as far as what is appropriate in comedy. This is going back to the Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson bit. Are Wisconsinites the only people who can poke fun of Wisconsin culture? Should it even be joked about? Unfortunately, some people will always be offended. Some people will always laugh. There is no perfect answer. If you ever want to check in, 844-967-2789.
And I think it's being smarter. Like, I think you can. I don't think you always have to be from the group and be in on the joke. But I think it just has to be a smarter joke if you actually want people to laugh. But I think making people laugh is also different than offending people or
Definitely.
Having the joke be objectively offensive.
Yeah. And again, I think the SNL bit was not about drinking. It was about those two particular actors with their heavy accents talking over each other during an interview. But you had to have seen that interview in order to get to the context of this bit. So maybe that's where they made too far of a stretch, assuming that people knew where the joke sprang from.
Yeah. Versus Fond du Lac News. I don't know where that comes from.
It was just all bad. the one best part, which was way too visual, they went to the weather reporter and then didn't let her answer anything. And then she just kicked it back. That was the funniest part of that bit.
Uh-huh.
Okay. See ya.
Okay. The cancellation of Winterland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm surprised that we don't, to a certain extent, I am surprised that Wisconsin doesn't have a Winterland festival.
We can start one.
Because we have Mittenfest, right? Which is it's a Milwaukee concert. So what are you going this weekend?
I have got to do our taxes.
Oh, I'm doing that next weekend.
I want to get it done. I'd like to give my accountant a little breather. Although, again, things you can't deduct anything anymore.
Yeah.
You know, the few things we used to be able to deduct, thank you to Paul Ryan and the tax reforms that now fit on a postcard, which was never true and still is not true. yes, we lost all those little deductions we used to be able to take. So it is actually simpler
than it
used to be.
Yeah.
But I still like to give my guy a break and get him in so he's not panicking.
I still have to hunt everything down because I realize that I moved.
Uh-oh.
I think some of my mail didn't make it to my forwarding address, so I got to go hunt down some 1099s and W-2s.
You best get on that, girl.
Yeah, so I gotta get going on that. But I think for me, it will be a lot of basketball watching.
You're going up to see the parental units and your father's birthday.
Yep, so we're picking my brother up from Madison. En route to Wisconsin Rapids.
Oh, wow.
So he's here. So the whole
Ben's
family.
Here.
Ben is landed. He's landing in 2.5 hours.
Oh, very cool.
So we'll get him. We'll all be together. We'll watch some basketball. And so that'll be fun.
Do you take Cliffy along?
Cliffy, my mom would not open the door if we didn't actually have the dog, her only grandbaby so far.
Her granddog.
And so Cliff will come. And but yeah, so we have hopefully a relaxing weekend. I'm trying to think of what we have coming up next week for people to look forward to. But I have some catch up to do on. There's a lot of news this week that I feel like I have to go back and read. Having that middle day off was a little
me. It was busy. It's been a busy week.
It's been a busy week. Mm-hmm. So trying to think if any other news. Oh, quote, "You might think this is a joke, but it's not." End quote. Joe Exotic on his 2024 presidential campaign.
Wait. Joe Exotic, Tiger King guy?
Tiger King, Joe Exotic announces 2024 presidential run.
I thought he was in prison.
He is. Joe Exotic, who is currently serving a prison sentence, announced Wednesday he is entering the race for the White House in 2024. Despite his conviction, Exotic declared it is his constitutional right to run for president, even from prison. And Exotic took aim at the U.S. Department of Justice over his conviction. I forgot that I read that this morning.
You know there will be people who will vote for him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But yeah, he's serving his a 21-year prison sentence following his 2019 conviction on multiple charges, including two counts of hiring hitmen to murder Carol Baskin.
Yeah, there was that.
Do you know that they found her husband? And
no.
It went like totally under the radar that her husband's alive, and like no one made a big deal when that news broke. They was like, oh yeah, he actually is living in like Argentina. He's alive. He's fine. She didn't kill him.
So he just hired two really bad hitmen.
Well, he hired two bad hitmen because he hired people to kill Carol Baskin.
Oh, sorry.
But the whole point of that show was, did Carol Baskin feed her ex-husband
to the tigers?
And turns out he's actually alive. But despite everyone's obsession with that show, when it's like this was back in January of this year, Carol Baskin says dead husband was found alive, but no one noticed. Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
Oh my God.
Carol Baskin claims her husband isn't dead after all, and apparently they found him. So there you go. Well, there's some random news to end the week on. I hope you have a very safe and fun St. Patrick's Day.
Please be safe. Take an Uber. Have a friend drive. Take the bus.
Don't drink and drive. We'll be back next week. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Luke is here. I'm looking right at him. While we were in Madison yesterday, he is going to be recording live from Waukesha. But that is it for us. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. We'll see you Monday.
Mink coats. Des bijoux. Jusqu'au cou, tu sais. C'est bon. Ces petites sensations. Peut-être quelqu'un avec un petit yacht, non? Ah, oh, c'est bon. C'est bon, je suis bon. Vous savez bien que j'attendrai quelqu'un qui pourrait m'apporter beaucoup de loot. Ce soir, demain, la semaine prochaine, n'importe quand. C'est bon, si bon. Il sera très crazy, non? Voilà, c'était.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hey, Joe, what do you got for us today?
In reference to Lindsey Graham, I was amazed at his comments where he said if Trump is indicted, there will be riots in the streets. Lindsey Graham was a JAG officer, and in order to be a JAG officer, you have to pass the bar. Was a JAG
officer. I'm sorry, he's a JAG officer? I didn't quite understand that.
Yeah, to see a lawyer head for the rat hole instead of acting like a person with a backbone. Wow, what a profile and courage, huh?
Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.